From Jefferson Public Radio at Southern Oregon University, this is the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Off the top, Siskiyou County versus California. It's all over the news, even being discussed in late-night TV monologues. You'll hear from one of the four supervisors who favors parting from California and from the lone vote against the declaration. Down the hour, Vents Day continues the theme of being disgruntled with the next higher level of government. Vent politely on the idea of states nullifying federal law, or vent on the issue of tobacco products and how to keep minors from buying them. After nine, creative uses for sewage and its treatment. Flushing the toilet is by no means the end of the process. You'll hear from Arcata and the greater Eugene area about how our waste products can be used to help the land and water and air. All that and your phone calls and emails ahead on the Jefferson Exchange after this hour's news. This is the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. We broadcast live weekday mornings and rebroadcast weekday evenings on radio stations serving California and Oregon. And we're found online as well at jeffexchange.org. It's Wednesday, September 11th, 2013. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. In this hour, Secession and Vents Day. The secession talk comes from Siskiyou County, where supervisors declared a desire to separate from California. You'll hear from a yes vote and a no vote coming up. Then we'll continue the government's disgruntled discussion in our Vents Day segment. Tell us what you think about nullifying federal laws, or weigh in on our other issue, tobacco sales to minors. You can join our discussions on the exchange. We'll provide phone numbers and email address shortly. First, let's get a weather forecast from Jefferson Exchange producer Charlotte Duran.
On the Northern California coast today, increased threat of sneaker waves and areas of fog and cloudy with a high near 61. In Redding and Red Bluff, sunny with a high near 95. In Yreka, sunny and hot with a high near 96. In Weed and Mount Shasta, sunny with a high near 90. On the Southern Oregon coast, areas of fog and mostly cloudy with a high near 65. In the Klamath Basin, sunny with a high near 88. In Grants Pass, Medford and Ashland, sunny and hot with a high near 100. On the Southern Oregon Cascades and Siskiyous, sunny with a high near 82. In Roseburg and the Umpqua Basin, sunny with a high near 93. And in Eugene and Springfield today, sunny with a high near 89.
The humidities are very, very low. There wasn't even any mist on the car this morning. No dew out there in the Rogue Valley. As you heard in the newscast segment, things are better with the Clover Fire. I was concerned briefly last evening when I saw some smoke off to the northwest of the Rogue Valley, but apparently there's more burnout activity going on, and the fire's still burning on the Josephine County, Douglas County border. So more activity with old fires, but on purpose. And so it's going to stay hot and dry for a few more days. It looks like Medford will actually be hotter than Redding today, and that doesn't happen very often every summer. And it is still summer. And we have to get used to that for a little while longer. Thanks for listening to us on the Jefferson Exchange today. We're always glad when you're here. And if you'd like to join us on the exchange, here are the phone numbers. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Parts of the country that had never heard of Siskiyou County, California, know the name now because 8 days ago, the county supervisors passed a declaration of desire to separate the county from California in the hope of forming a new state. Jefferson Public Radio itself takes its name from earlier efforts to form a new state from the remoter parts of California and Oregon, but there's been no serious talk about the idea for decades, and the vote was not close. Siskiyou supervisors voted 4 in favor, 1 opposed. Brandon Chris from District 1 on the east part of Siskiyou County was one of the votes in favor, and he's one of our guests here on the exchange. Mr. Supervisor, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
We also have with us Ed Valenzuela, who is supervisor from District 2, Mount Shasta and Dunsmuir, and he's also the chair of the board and voted no. Ed Valenzuela, thank you for joining us.
Of course.
Brandon Chris, let's start with you. Was there a precipitating incident, some we've had it moment?
I think there has been, especially with the Klamath River dams. The reason why they haven't been relicensed is because the state of California refuses to give what's called a 401 clean water permit, and that's the whole thing holding up the dams from being relicensed.
But you even have the Pacific Corporation, which owns the dams, saying they're okay with dam removal.
Well, they were proposing to relicense them for a long time. Pacific Corp fought to relicense those dams for a long time, and it was California's refusal to issue the 401 permit, which is required under the Clean Water Act to relicense the dams, that pressured Pacific Corps into its decision.
Brandon, Chris, people do get mad about government all the time, and it seems like the more remote the area, the greater the level of anger. Why consider this as a precipitating point for a move to break away?
I think that there's a history of the need for rural representation, a history for the need for the rural areas to be heard. Back in 1992, 27 out of 58 counties in California voted to secede from the state of California. And before then, we had, you know, the State of Jefferson movement in 1941. So there's been a history of the rural areas wanting to get out. Unfortunately, you'll have the urban areas pass laws that just have no place within rural California.
To be fair, that 1992 vote was not so much about secession as about entertaining the prospect of dividing California, wasn't it?
It was. It's basically secession, but it was to divide it into three different states, yes.
All right, so what does the declaration, and I want to point out, is it called a declaration and not a resolution? It reads like a resolution, but what does the declaration say, and who drew up the wording, Brandon?
Oh, the drawing was done by a gentleman named Mark Baird. He does KSYC radio down in Yreka.
FM, I should point out. We are heard on KSYC AM.
Oh, okay, yeah. And then he does that down there, and it was Pioneer Politics or PAL, Protect Our Water, out of Scott Valley, that were the main motivators. And once they threw it out there, it just everybody was jumping on board. That's why we had a full chamber, a full meeting house when we talked about it.
All right, and the vote again was 4-1. Brandon, Chris, you're one of the four. Ed Valenzuela, board chair, supervisor in opposition. When you saw this movement taking shape, at any point were you behind it?
Was I?
Yes.
You know, in theory, I think it sounds, you know, like a great idea. You know, you have, you know, more local representation, if you will. You know, I want to just counter to the point that if my fellow supervisor believes it's a Klamath Dam issue, you know, I think it's a culmination of issues that come to the forefront. Certainly rural California feels very much in the minority when it comes to representation. You know, you can go to any big city in California and they have more representatives in a small geographical area than we have throughout all of Northern California, if you will. So, but I've been a politician now for 12-plus years. I served on the city of Mount Shasta. You know, I know going in that we struggle with those kind of issues. And so, hence, where I might think, you know, in my fondest dreams on Sunday afternoon of utopia, you know, from a practical, realistic standpoint, it just doesn't seem like it's a doable, plausible thing to happen.
You know, in a sense, it almost, and I'm just, this is totally coming from the gut, though, but the idea that you didn't want it to be unanimous. I mean, if somebody else had voted no, is there any chance you would have voted yes, Ed?
No, I would have voted no.
All right.
You know, again, I signed on to, I just ran for re-election. I took the oath of office. I know how the political system is. You know, we are not, you know, if you look on the, go to Google, you'll see there's Colorado's, you know, section that Colorado wants to break off, become a 51st state. There's four counties in Maryland that want to do the same. So this is not unique to just us. You know, we are all probably at some point, you know, not happy with government and how it's, you know, intruding in our, you know, in our lives, if you will.
Let us take a phone call. We have Ray in Grants Pass, Oregon, on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking secession in Siskiyou County with Brandon Chris and Ed Valenzuela, two of the supervisors.
Yes, good morning. I just had two quick comments that it seems like this always runs mostly along either the social value line or the economic value line. The Oregon Medical Marijuana Program is a good example of that. Back in 98, the majority, vast majority of counties voted against it, but the larger counties, the population, passed it, and people were upset about that. The economic part, it seems like the feds are the ones blocking the logging. When I was growing up, it was always the state of Jefferson would be Southern Oregon and Northern California, and as logging became a thing of the past and mining, my economics teachers and other people that would talk about it, they thought the idea was good, but they thought we would be even poorer than Arkansas if we actually broke away and formed a state out of Northern California and Southern Oregon. I'll take your comments off the air.
All right. Thanks for that, Ray. Appreciate it. Brandon, you want to weigh in here?
I think that we're being poor. Right now, Siskiyou County is the 14th economically challenged county in the United States. And right now, the regulations that are being pressed on us by the state is just keeps knocking us right down.
All right, so what should be happening in your mind if there weren't these regulations that you see as onerous from the state and from the federal government?
Well, I see that the entrepreneurial spirit would start lifting back up.
All right, now I noticed that the representative in Congress for Siskiyou County, Doug LaMalfa, will not take a position. Is that any kind of a blow, Brandon Chris, to the efforts to set up a separate organization, separate entity?
I haven't seen that in the Klamath Falls Herald and News that said that he supported it. So
really?
Okay. I haven't seen your article, so I'd have to check your article out.
All right, and then maybe something that happened a little more recently than the last time I checked. This is obviously
sure.
getting massive media attention. I mean, even as a joke in Jimmy Kimmel's monologue at some point last week, Ed Valenzuela, have you seen any of this or digested any of this stuff coming from outside the region about Siskiyou County and this move?
I think it's unfortunate. I think it's easy for the media to grasp onto and take a run with it. The things I've seen, I feel don't necessarily portray Siskiyou County in a positive light. If you were to look at the San Francisco Chronicle on one of their editorial things back there, you'll see that it's got a bad week for Siskiyou County. And then there's an editorial that came out of the Sacramento Bee where it shows Siskiyou County spun off as a planet. You know, forget the new state. Let's just spin them off into a new planet. I there are a lot of positive things that are going on in Siskiyou County. Certainly my counterpart can attribute to Butte Valley how well the strawberry industry is doing out there. We have a vibrant tourist industry. You know, we have a ski park down in my neck of the woods here that does very well when the snow flies, if you will. There are things going that we've been working on. You know, yesterday we had a regular scheduled board meeting. One of the things that I think that when people see the pluses and minuses, the balance sheet, if you will, you know, we take in just as much money as we, and probably, you know, some people argue more than we take out. We took a ride on a new bus that wasn't county money, except for $100,000, over $1 million for five new buses. And so, you know, when we talk about the, again, I go back to, in theory this sounds good, but in reality, I think you'll find that, you know, we do okay for ourselves. We have an entrepreneurial spirit here that is probably just as, you know, just replicated throughout this country, but just more so in the rural counties because we are stressed and have been for quite some time. The caller mentioned about the forest and mining. You know, that's been on a downslope for many years, and you know, I don't know how that ever comes back. One of the things we talk about, overregulation. Well, we don't do some of the things that we should do to help ourselves. I've been involved with government, as I've mentioned. One of the things that came out, I was on a LAFCO commission that's made up of representatives throughout the county, was a blue ribbon panel commission on fire departments. They have recommended, and over the years has always been recommended, to consolidate. Well, if they were to consolidate, they could probably have state represented areas instead of California state represented areas, and we can get away from fire fees. We don't look at the fixes that we can do for ourselves that would help the cause, if you will, to have less government intruding on our lives.
So here again, you're saying you can work within the current system and
absolutely
not have to get outside
absolutely
of it.
Absolutely. There are plenty of things we do. And this county has long been supportive of economic development, I might add.
Let's get another call in here from Bill in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Ed Valenzuela and Brandon Chris of the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors.
Good morning.
Good morning.
One of the themes that I hear running through all of this is that we'll do better economically if we can get rid of the regulation, government regulation. I think that's a pipe dream. I don't think that is going to improve the economic conditions of these rural areas, which admittedly do need some economic improvement. There's no question about that. But the idea that everything is going to be solved with deregulation, I think, is just not realistic.
All right. Thanks for that, Bill. Appreciate it. Brandon, would you weigh in there?
I'd have to counter that. Right now we have the state of California trying to impose air quality standards for truck and tractor emissions. And in ranching, which I am, I'm a farmer, you can't carpool when you're plowing a field. And our air quality up here is great air quality. So now they want to impose more stricter air quality standards on Northern California. And that's it's going to cripple our agricultural industry as well as our trucking industry up here. You look at the fish and game has reinterpreted a water diversion regulation, and the Farm Bureau, the Siskiyou County Farm Bureau, was in lawsuit with the Fish and Game, and the Fish and Game lost. And this caused quite a deal of stress for rural California. Then you look at the state of California's bought property, profitable ranches at an inflated price, and then they're not paying taxes on their property that they have in California. So to release some of the regulation would be would help out rural California a great deal.
All right. What was passed last week is called the Declaration to the California State Legislature supporting the withdrawal of Siskiyou County from the state of California. And when you get to the thereby or the hereby, the therefore section, it says the Board of Supervisors desires, which is different language from saying the Board of Supervisors intends. So where do things go from here, Brandon, Chris?
Right now, there's other counties considering the declaration. So we'll just keep the momentum going.
And which counties are you talking to, and how serious are they getting about this?
Modoc County, and then we had, when we voted on it there a couple of weeks ago at the Board of Supervisors, we had constituents from other counties there talking about how they're going to champion their county.
All right, so you really think there is a groundswell here that could lead to something?
I think so. When I've been getting phone calls and emails from people saying they'd like to move up here once we were the state of Jefferson.
All right, but one of the issues you're dealing with here is federal regulation in addition to state regulation. You'd still be working with the same federal government no matter which state you belong to, so how does that factor into your plans?
Oh, you would be, but you'd also have your own United States senators, and so they'd be championing on your behalf. For example, you look at any number of issues, we would have a more local representative representing us in D.C.,
All right. So what is the next step then? What happens now?
Just keep the ball moving and listen to the other counties as they vote on their similar resolutions or declarations.
Mm-hmm. Ed Valenzuela, what do you see happening from this point forward?
You know, I will tell you that for me, the one positive that comes out of it is I think it gets people reengaged to be more involved with government. You know, one of the things that we struggled with yesterday in a board meeting is getting people to step up to the plate to be on just a local community service district board. And people could like to complain about government, but they need to be involved with government. I see this, if anything, getting people to get reengaged and to be more involved and to be part of the process, if you will. I don't see this getting a whole lot of traction. I've mentioned a couple of the other areas throughout the country that want to become states. I could imagine you could easily find 50 local areas that want to do that. You would double the amount of senators, and I think there's an argument that there's ineffectiveness at the federal level. Why would we want to add more to that? I do think that, you know, we have day-to-day business that we'll continue to work on and move forward with, and that probably over the long haul, you know, overshadows the grassroots efforts that, you know, at least from the positive side, will get people reengaged in government.
We will keep listening and see what happens with Siskiyou County and this declaration of desire to separate from the state of California. Ed Valenzuela is from District 2 and is board chair, voted against the declaration. Brandon Chris is from District 1 and voted in favor of it. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you for the time.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you. Vents Day is coming up on the Jefferson Exchange. First, Garrison Keillor.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday, the 11th of September, 2013. It's the birthday of William Sidney Porter, better known by his pen name O. Henry, born Greensboro, North Carolina, 1862. He was a young man living in Texas when he was convicted of embezzlement at the bank where he worked, and he was sent to federal prison. He served 3 years in prison, didn't want anybody to know about it, told his daughter he'd been away on business, and it wasn't until after he died that the public learned that O. Henry, the famous author, had gotten his start in prison. One of his best-known stories, The Ransom of Red Chief, the story of two small-time cooks, Bill and Sam, who kidnap a wealthy young boy from Alabama. They ask for ransom, but the boy's father refuses because the boy's father knows that his son is a handful. And he is, and he makes the kidnappers' lives miserable. And in the end, they have to pay the father to take the son back. The Gift of the Magi, another famous story of O. Henry's, young married couple, Jim and Della. It's Christmas time. Della has beautiful, long hair, which Jim is so fond of, and Jim has a gold watch that his grandfather had given him. They don't have much money. They want to give each other a wonderful gift for Christmas. So Jim ends up pawning the watch to buy his wife combs for her hair, and at the same time Della sells her hair for enough money to buy her husband a fob chain for his watch. And one of O. Henry's lesser-known stories, The Furnished Room, the story of a young man who rents a dingy room in a boarding house in Manhattan. He's been looking for the girl he loves who has disappeared. He thinks she may have lived in this room that he rents because he can smell her perfume. He asks the housekeeper if she has seen a beautiful girl with a mole on her left eyebrow, and the housekeeper says no. The young man locks himself up in the room. The scent of the perfume of his loved one gradually disappears. He seals off the room with strips of bed sheets, lies down, and kills himself by turning on the gas. And the story ends with the housekeeper explaining to a friend of hers that she rented a room to a young man that day, but because she didn't want to discourage him from renting, she didn't tell him that a young girl had killed herself turning on the gas in that same room 1 week before, a girl with a mole on her left eyebrow. It was on this day, 1914, W.C. Handy published his St. Louis Blues, his most famous song. He said the lyrics had been inspired by a woman he met on the streets of St. Louis, whose husband had taken off, and she said, "My man's got a heart like a rock cast in the sea." The song was a big hit right away. Here's a poem for today by Ted Kooser, A Monday in May. It rained all weekend, but today the peaked roofs are as dusty and warm as the backs of old donkeys tied in the sun. So much alike are our houses, our lives, under every eave, leaf, cobweb, and feather, and for each front yard, one sentimental maple, who, after a shower has passed, weeps into her shadow for hours. Ted Kooser's poem, A Monday in May, from his collection Flying at Night, published by University of Pittsburgh Press, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, committed to discovering great poets and printing their verse. Back issues and subscriptions available at poetryfoundation.org. Engineered by Noah Smith and produced by Joy Biles, be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
And especially keep in touch on the segment coming up. We're about to open our Vents Day segment here on the Jefferson Exchange. Every Wednesday, we swing open the phone lines of the email box and give you a chance to vent politely on a couple of topics in the news. Today's topics, nullification of federal laws and tobacco sales to minors. Phone numbers, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Email address, jx@jeffnet.org. Today's first segment featured Siskiyou County supervisors for and against a recent resolution calling for the county to break off from California as part of a larger movement to create a whole new state to take the community from which Jefferson Public Radio draws its name and make it a real state. The mood behind the movement is present in other states as well in the form of talk of nullification. In Missouri, for example, the legislature reconvenes today and may vote to override the governor's veto to pass a law declaring that the state will not enforce any federal gun laws. It goes further and raises the possibility of lawsuits against any federal agencies that try to enforce gun laws. The concept of nullification itself is tricky. Federal courts have ruled many times that states do not have the power to opt out of federal law. What do you think? Is nullification a valid move or just crazy talk from frustrated states? 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782. Email address jx@jeffnet.org. Topic two on this Vents Day is about tobacco sales to minors. This is a thorny issue in Oregon, where a recent federal report showed Oregon leading the nation, and not for the first time, in the number of retail outlets that sold cigarettes to a minor in violation of the law. You know those things that police and health officials occasionally undertake with the help of teenagers? That's how they find out. Oregon stores get caught about twice as often as the national rate. So first, are the stings fair? Second of all, what should be the penalties for people caught in the stings? Right now, the stores get a talking to, but that's about it. And what would you advocate for cutting down on the high rate of tobacco sales to minors? Or more broadly, how do we further make a dent in people smoking cigarettes, cigars, pipes, you name it? 800-838-3760, anywhere in our listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. And the email address, jx@jeffnet.org. It is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. We'll begin taking your phone calls and emails in a minute and 5 seconds.